Chodesh Tov. And today's daf is daf Kuf Chof Hei. And the last thing we had learned was we were talking about Shibrei Kelim. And the question is whether a person who Zorek Shibrei Kelim into an Ashkara, yesterday we said could, if he threw it before Shabbos, he might be able to be Mekatze it. But certainly not on Shabbos once it has a din of a Kli, Tanya's Rav Papa. We're up to the very top line. Omer bar Hamduri Omer Shmuel, Kumiyot shel machatzelet mutar l'taltalon b'Shabbos. Now you're allowed to take a mat that is falling apart and drops a couple of lines of straw. That's Shibrei Kelim, essentially. But those pieces that fell out of the mat, l'maisa, are allowed to be moved on Shabbat. They're not considered to be just useless Shibrei Kelim. My time, Omar Rabba bar Hamduri Asbara me. Bar Hamduri explained to me as follows. Machatzelet gufala maichaz yelechasiyye be'afra. Of what purpose is a machatzelet? To cover over, basically, loose dirt. But if that's the case, hachanami, haninami, chazin lechasiyye be'utinofet. The pieces that fell out of the machatzelet are also suitable to cover over a place where maybe somebody spit or something, and therefore it would be considered even to be me'ein malachtan. L'maisa Tosus points out that this is just l'rafkata demilta, which is saying it even if you hold that you need me'in malachtan. But the truth is that we saw earlier that Rav Nachman said any cheres ketana, like the case of Rav was, you know, in the marketplace, that is certainly not me'in malachtan to use it as a scraper for shoes. But a main malacha, which a main malacha is sufficient, but over here, because of those who mentioned before, you need main malachtan rishon in terms of nolad issues. So he brought in, it's even the same as it was when it was in the shape of a machatzelet. Omre bizera omarav, shiroi puzmiot, asur l'taltalan b'shabbat. These are little pieces of material that were left over from puzmiot. Puzmiot are actually talitot. According to the Ravid, the Gemara is specifically talking about talitot, because if you're talking about a normal worn down piece of baguette, the slightest amount is certainly usable for picking up a dead fly or something and throwing it into the garbage. It's not worse than a small piece of cheres to use for scraping mud. The reason that we're talking about dafka Shiroi Puzmiot is because people generally won't use a talis, piece of a talis, for picking up garbage and for using as toilet paper. So therefore, it doesn't. Because it's just inappropriate. In other words, it's true that it doesn't have a shame of a Mahamish Chetzach of Kedusha. However, as you know, we're not to treat it bizoyan. So if that's the case, a normal piece of material would actually be no different than a broken piece of cheres, as long as it's usable. Omer Abaye, let's make it very clear that we're talking about matlodiot she'en behem shalosh. We're talking about where they don't even have a shear of three etzvot or three etzvot, because then lo chazin lo la'anim lo la'ashirim. It's not before the shear of a choshev to be makabel tuma would be less than 3 by 3 etzba'ot. At that point, it's too small to use even as a patch. So even on niyamot, and therefore it won't have a din of beged legabe Shabbos either. But if it has a din of beged, so then it's not any different than the original beged that it was. Tanu rabbanu, shivrei tanur yashan harei hen kechol hakelim anitalim bechatzer. You have a broken tanur. Now let's remember why a tanur is different than any other kli. A tanur is not really functional until it's cemented onto the ground. Because remember that a tanur in those days was simply an inverted cone that was open at the bottom and a small opening at the other end. And you would cement it down onto the ground, and then you'd be able to light a fire in it and put pot around the edges of the tanur from the top, which was actually the bottom before you inverted. So it's not really a kli at all until such time as it's mechuvah. Because it's not useful. can only use it once you turn it into a tanur, which requires connecting to the ground. But the thing is, there's two issues over here. First of all, normally in connecting to the ground, something is not makabel tuma, as far as tuma is concerned. Which is strange, because tanur is dafka makabel tuma when it's put into the ground. A house is not makabel tuma. Normally things that are connected to the ground are not makabel tuma. We have a pasuk that actually addresses that issue. And another thing is that if you make a tanur, just in terms of the usability of the pieces, the tanur is too large to put into the normal furnace that they use for making kli taras. And therefore, the way in which the tanur would be completed would be that you actually used it by making a fire internally. By heating up the tanur, you did the equivalent of firing up a kli taras. But if it were unfired, then it's too crumbly to have its pieces useful for anything. You can't even use it to scrape off a piece of mud, because you just scrape off, it's like sandstone, you scrape off the tanur just as much as the mud. So therefore, when we talk over here about a tanur yashan, doesn't really mean old, it just means that has already been used once, and therefore it's now hard, because it's been fired, essentially. So here the shaila is like this. That if we have a machlokas, it's not clear what the machlokas is, we're going to try to get into it in the Gemara, but if you have a well-baked tanur which is broken, then it's no different than any other kli teretz, its pieces are usable, and therefore you could carry it around in a chatzar. Now, as Tosis points out, chatzar is lav dafka, because we already saw it's a machlokas, whether maybe even a karmelit or maybe even a rishut harabim, like the case yesterday. It's exactly the same, because it's just as usable. Okay, but again, this is more the Rav than other Milta. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eini Talin, for some reason, without explaining why. In Heid, Rabbi Yossi Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Al Shivrei Tanur Yashan Shini Talin B'Shabbat, Val Kisuyosh Eino Tzarech Beit Yad. Two things Rabbi Yossi was made that he was Makabel for Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. One is that you can carry around pieces of a broken old Tanur, just as Rabbi Meir said. And furthermore, the other chiddush was that the covering of a tanur can be carried around even though it doesn't have a handle. We'll see later on that that is an issue because it's similar to binyan. Using the cover of a tanur, since a tanur is b'chur b'laretz, so that's sort of the same as the covering of a telephone, what do they call those little holes they make?
Yeah. Manhole cover.
Manhole cover, yeah. So in a manhole cover, you have a problem over there of binyan, putting it back and so on. In which case, you would think that it's also a tilta. So if it has a handle on it, which makes it easily removable and so on, okay, so it's like a door. But if not, there's some who answer it. So the tanur, there's some who say the same, as we say in the Mishnah, that if it doesn't have a handle, then it's already re-assered because it's similar to other things that are mechur b'lekarka. He was made that you can carry around the top of a tanur even though it doesn't have a handle.
I understand. The tanur had an opening on top. What is
it's true, but it...
What is the kisui for?
Does your oven have a door at home?
Not on top.
You, wherever it has an oven, a door. Has a door? Your oven has a door? Just try asking your wife, what do you need a door in the oven for? And see what she'll say to you.
He has a counter, which is like when the heat comes out.
Well, you don't want the heat to come out. If you're baking, you want the heat to stay in. Ask your wife, she'll explain it to you.
In other words, some of them had both pots, or if you bake inside, you cover it.
Well, you didn't usually use it for a pot.
You used it
for a pot. Kirayan used for a pot. I mean, you could. We had the cases where it had.
It's
essentially an oven, and then they had a kirayim or one head kirayim. So now the question is, what are they arguing it? But my conflict, Omrabai, the machlokas over here is ba'osin main melacha, ve'inosin main melachan kamiflake. This is the old machlokas that we basically had yesterday, which is a machlokas in the Mishnah. Does a broken kli have to serve the same function that it served initially? And that's what they're arguing, because the Tanakama, who is Rabbi Meir, said over here, Shiosim in Milacha. And that's what Rabbi Meir says over here. As long as it's usable, you want to use it for scraping mud off your shoes, it's also good. But Rabbi Yehuda is the one in the Mishnah who said, no, it's only usable If it does the same type of thing it did before, once an oven is broken, it can't do the same kind of thing it did before at all. How are you going to heat it? So because of that, he says you're not allowed to use it at all. Therefore, this is Azra Yehuda L'Taimeh, Rabbi Meir L'Taimeh, simply an extension of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Maskev lo Rava says, Rava, what kind of shot is that? You know, if you had a mifli b'shivrei tanur, the b'shivrei kelim b'alma. You tell him what's unique about the tanur? They make everything so complicated. I mean, we have the case of the Mishnah that stated the general rule. It's perfectly reasonable the way it's stated. Main malacha, I need to talk about a tanur for some reason. Ela amar Rava said, Rava, of course this is a unique case. And the case is b'shivrei the high tanur k'mifli. It's the following case that we're talking about. Not just any old tanur, but a very special case of a tanur. And this is a case in which instead of cementing the tanur down on the ground, which was the norm, somebody took a tanur, and a tanur is essentially portable until it's b'chukr, took a tanur and stuffed it into a bor, or into a dut, which is the same thing as a bor, except that it's lined with brick. So he figures, instead of cementing it, I'll plug up a hole with it, and then I'll use the bottom of the hole essentially as the bottom of the tanur, and I could still place my bread around the inside of the tanur and have a workable tanur. So there we have a problem. That's not no al piyad bor or al piyad dut. There's a question in terms of tumas kelim. This is a mission in kelim that if you take a tanur and you press it into the top of a bor or a dut, v'natan sham eben, in order to support it, I mean, it's essentially hanging in the air on some edge, it's not going to fit perfectly. So in order to support it, hanging in the air, so to speak, you put a little stone in the side where it doesn't come up against the edge, which means that there's a little bit of area for air to escape, heat to escape. It's not the most perfect tanur, but nonetheless, depending on the size of that oven, it might work. And therefore, it depends really how well it fits. So says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im masik milamata, look, I mean, the bottom line is, if you heat it on the ground of the bar or the dut, and that heat works for the tanur, then you don't argue with success. It's a working tanur. I mean, you're going to argue now how much heat is escaping from the edges and so on and so on. It's not the point. You use it the way you use any tanur. It's nisak milamala in the tanur. So then, it's tamei. The imlab, however, if there's no way to heat that tanur from the ground so that it's workable, and instead you're going to have to plug it up somehow in the bottom and heat the tanur, and then it's really not mechubar, so then it's tahor. It's not a workable tanur. It's basically a temporary tanur in a sense that you manage to heat, but that doesn't really work. V'chachamim omrim, ho'il v'husak mikom makom tamei. Say the chachamim, what do I care? Whoever said that a portable tanur is not a tamei kli? You say, well, because it's open on the bottom? So fine, so however I manage to make it work. I make it work by putting something there and holding up the coals in it. That's also a perfectly usable kli. That's the way a tanur works. As long as I can get it heated, it's tummy. Now, this, of course, is a machlokas that seems to be standing in midair also. I mean, what are they arguing? It sort of has nothing to do with the issue then that we were talking about. So the b'maika miflagi, what are they arguing in? They're arguing the following pasuk. The pasuk has a double lashon when it comes to the din of tumas tanur. It's talking about a share. It falls into a tanur. And it says there, "V'chol asher yipol minivlatam alav yitma, tanur v'chirayim yutatz." You have to break a tanur v'chirayim because they're klicheres, and there's no tahira b'mikra. And then it says, "Tameim heim." Fine, it's perfectly reasonable. And then throws in a completely irrelevant and redundant, "Utmeim yulachem." I mean, obviously, if the tameim heim, then tameim yulachem. So there's three important akudas in this pasuk. One is yutatz, that it has no tire but mikvah requires breaking. The other is that it's tamei, and the other is whatever this riboy is, tmei miulacha. And that, in fact, is the machlokes how to understand the pasuk. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, look, since the Torah puts together the din of mititsa with tmeim haim, it's telling me that only a kli that requires nititsa is a kli that will become tamei. But if the kli is portable, in this case, where the tanur is not connected to the ground, it's hanging over a bar, what nititsa does it require? Pick it up and take it out of the bar? That's called nititsa. It's natutzare. I don't have a tanur that is mechubar. Therefore, this is not a kli that's going to become a kabul tuma, because there's no netitza, further netitza that I could do to it. What bigger netitza is there than to have a piece of ferris, basically, that serves no purpose unless I connect it to something else? And therefore, since it's mechusar netitza, and only a mechusar netitza is tamei, rather, but she'en mechusar netitza tahor, and this tanur is not mechusar netitza, because for all intents and purposes, it's natutz va'omed. Rabbanan Savei, Rabbanan said, well, that would be a very nice svara, except for the fact that the Torah, in order to make sure that we don't make that mistake, adds the word, utmei miulachem, to tell me that no matter what, mikol makom, that's the definition of a tanur that can be placed on something else and be lit. That's what a tanur means, and therefore it's considered to be indeed just like any other kli cheretz, and it'll be makabel tuma. Even so, so then, what does Rabbanan want to do with the word yutatz? What's the point then here of connecting the yutatz to the din of tmeim? How k'tiv yutatz? Say the Rabbanan, that's the opposite direction. The yidav gisa sarkadat ramina given the chavre barak kuf de aradah. If it hadn't been for tanur v'kirayim yutatz, why do you think the Torah makes such a big fuss about a tanur? Really, when you think about it. I mean, why are we talking about a particular type of kli? Talk about anything. Just say, kol kli, like say, kol baget. Why are you defining what type of kli? This is a big chiddush over here. Because since the tanur is only a kli by virtue of its chibur to the earth, so therefore I would have thought it's considered to be a binyan, not a kli. Is that makabel tuma at all? Binyanim are not makabel tuma. Anything mechubar lekarka is not makabel tuma. Comes along the Torah to say specifically, you should know, a tanur v'kirayim, even though it's mechubar lekarka, requires netitza. That's what it's so. It's dafka coming to be machmir, not coming to be mekil, that only a mechus and netitza is tamei, and the mechus, not mechus and netitza isn't tamei. So who the hirachki? It's not a kula. It's a chumra. It's sakadayt. I mean, I would have thought given the chavre barak to kufri aradami, since it's connected to the ground, and that's the only way that it works. It's considered to be part of the ground. And indeed, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the shita of with the pasuk that adds to Tmeim Yulachem, which according to him is redundant? So Haktiv Tmeim Yulachem, Ahiket Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. That's like the Amira Rabbi Yehuda quoted Shmuel saying, "Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel that Machloket Be'esek Rishon, Aba Be'esek Sheni Afilu Talui B'Tzavar Gamal." This halacha that they're arguing in is only in terms of what defines it to be a kli. Since the gemar kli of a tanur is only through heating it up for that first time, because it's not fired the way other kelim are, therefore, tainis Rabbi Yehuda, that the pasuk is coming to tell you that unless it's mechubar lekarka completely and fired properly for a tanur, it's not considered to be a tanur. But once it's turned into a tanur, and now I lift it up and detach it, I want to take it as a portable tanur for a camping tanur, and wherever I go, I'll set it down on the ground, then it's a tanur already. So there, even Rabbi Yehuda would be moda that a portable tanur is makabel tuma. It doesn't have to be on the ground. That's for sure. Rabbi Yehuda is also moda to. As a matter of fact, Pesach Sheni, afilu talui b'tzavar gamal. If you want to take your tanur and hang it around the neck of your camel as a camel-sized bell, that's also a tamei tanur. Omarula, but you should know by the same token that according to the Rabbanan who hold that even hesek rishon, even the first time you use it, it can be used as a portable tanur. It's also true even if it's hanging on your camel's neck. In other words, don't think that the only time in which Rabbanu would have said that it's considered to be a tamer is where it's at least stuffed into the ground. So then it's the equivalent, like the case of Borandut. Even if it was hanging on your camel, if you get it to work...
After it was stuffed to the ground, you get it to
work. No.
Camel.
No. You made it the first time you're using it on your camel.
First time,
Hesek Rishon, according to Rabbanu. And according to Rabbanu, the Hesek Rishon is also Afilu Tolu B'Tzav HaGavra. Maskiv lo Ravashi, so Ravashi asks on this. So now you're saying that the machlokas about the tanur has nothing to do with the broken tanur. You're saying the machlokas of tanur is the status of such a tanur. So I understand. So why are we talking about broken pieces? Why does it say broken pieces of a tanur? Just tell me, there's a machlokas about a tanur which is on your camel's neck. There's a din in the tanur. Is that a din in the shvori? Is that a mifgei b'shivrei tanur? Live for the b'tanur gufa? If you're going to tell me, and ash tanur gufa l'rabiyuda lo havi mana, I'm intelligent enough to understand that Rabbi Yehuda holds a tanur that's not mechubar is considered to be useless. It's not considered to be a meaningful kli. And this is not considered to be a normal hesek. So obviously the thing itself is useless. The Koshkin Shvarim are useless. I'm not going to turn it into more of a kli by breaking it. So why do I have to argue about the Shvarim Bechlal according to you? I don't like your pshat either. El Amar Ravashi, I think the right pshat was the way we approached it in the beginning. And you were saying, well, what do we need to talk about a case of a Tanur if we have a general rule about Osim Ein Malach to the Mein Malach HaKar? You're not adding anything by talking about Shvarim Tanur. Ah, you are. And I'll tell you the point. Liolam kinamron mikara, that this is indeed an expression of the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and the Mishnah about whether shivrei kelim need to do their original function or as long as they do any function. Why is this a unique case? I'll tell you very simply. Because it's clear that a tanur indeed is never going to be doing what a tanur does, because how can you possibly cook it up inside? However, you can use it, could you not, for, let's say, a griddle, right? Certainly a usable griddle. I mean, obviously you'll have to heat it from underneath. You can't cook it inside of the tanner if the tanner is broken. But you can use it for baking, at least pancaking, similar to baking. And maybe that's the point. What we're talking about over here is that it is indeed usable for using as a griddle. And Rabbi Meir over here is not discussing his sheet. I mean, his sheet is no problem. It doesn't even have to be making something. It could be used for top of a perfume bottle too, because it only has to be made malacha. But this is Rabbi Meir arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, lefishitat Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is saying, look, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what use it does. It's always good. A filosim hei melacha would be considered to be a kli. But l'ditcha. You say it needs to do mei melacha rishona. Nu. So what you're telling me, that making pancakes is not melacha rishona, the tanur. But tanurs are so specialized that they view it as an absolute insult to be used as a pancake maker. It's also a sort of a tanur. So it's a retired tanur. So that, huh?
Cooking
in general, it's a type of baking. I mean, we call them sear pellets, you know. So they also bake. So therefore, I mean, this would be nogea, right? How to view the sear pellet on Shabbos. So, why don't you admit that this is also a type of baking? Whereas Rav Yehuda says, ha! Lo dami! Call this baking. I mean, hasana seko mi bifnim, a good tanur keeps a fire inside. And I compare a tanur to something where you put a fire outside of it, where it's not part of it. A tanur lives with a flame inside, a burning heart. Furthermore, a tanur stands tall. What are you going to compare a tanur to a seer pellet, please? Hey, Rabbi Yosef, Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, al shivrei tanur yashan. So we brought the edus of Rabbi Yossi that it is not necessary to have a handle on the cover of a tanur, despite the fact that this tanur is b'chubar la'aretz, La'adoma, and therefore you would say it's similar to binyan. The top of it is nonetheless not viewed stam as a manhole cover, which would be osri metaltel because of it's used as binyan on Shabbos, even though it doesn't have a cover. Omer hina keman metaltelina hina kisi detaduy dimata machasya. Why has it become nowadays the minhag to pick up the covers of the stoves here in Mata Mahasya, even though they have no handles? We are following basically the Edut of Rabbi Yossi about Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's psak, and since Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, says Tosfos, his Mishnah is Kavnaki, because the truth is there's a sheet of Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah Gufa that's Matvit. Why do we go to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? We could say we're second on Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. But since Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kavnaki, so we add this to the list of his Kavnaki Iskelechot.
You can tell you
that
the top on Shabbos
is broken. It's not broken.
The
tanur. No, it's not broken. We're talking about a regular tanur top. But even though it doesn't have a handle, because otherwise, okay, there is a yeah, because there's a gezerah because of the similarity of binyan, as we'll see in the next mission. It's small. Not much of it. It's a little bit.
Oh, kav is in a measurement.
Yeah, kav is in a measurement.
Not
I mean, it could be. It's concentrated and clean. You know, it's very. It's all boiled down to a few little things. So, ha'even should be kiruya. Imamalim ba ve'inano felet mimalim ba imilav imimalim ba. Now, as we saw earlier, it was very common to use hollowed out gourds for. Drawing water on Shabbos. I won't say pumpkin because Richard's here. I don't want to insult him in any way. But you would use hollowed out gourds. But the problem is, it's hard to draw water with a hollowed out gourd because gourds float. So how do you get the gourd to go down into the well to pick up the water? Ah, you put in a stone in the gourd. So now the shaila is, does that stone remain mukta? Or is it, and then I can't use it on Shabbos? No, it's funny. So if it's, you could use it, and it doesn't fall out, in other words, it's properly attached now to the gourd, so then it becomes part of the clean, and you can use it on Shabbos. But if not, on the contrary, what happens is the gourd becomes a basis of the varasur, because the rock is just temporarily in there, you're going to put another rock in there the next day. Well, in which case, you cannot be mamala with it.
Why is a gourd different to a complete made on Shabbos? What's the problem
then? Well, there's no problem. The only problem is that it floats.
And a wooden pail doesn't?
Well, if you want to use a wooden pail would float too. But it's awfully difficult to make wooden pails. It's much easier to make your wooden, your oven, regular oven. All you need is something that's hollowed out.
What was it? On Shabbos, he puts the stone in on Shabbos, is that the problem?
No, he put the stone in before Shabbos. Problem is that stones are mukta.
Stone mukta.
So if it stays there, you're right. But if it doesn't stay there, you can't be miyayed it for something. Then it's just a temporary use.
And staying there, it's enough that
staying there itself... Saying I'm going to use this tomorrow to sink my bucket is insufficient because it's a one time use. It's not really a clean. You have to make it something.
This will be my door
stop. This will be my door stop. It's not going to be used up tonight. But here's a good chance that it sinks into the thing. So then it's.
But anytime it touches the rock, then it's still a foot to the drawer. Since it has to
move
over to it,
and obviously. So then it's not a rock anymore. Once it's equivalent to the gourd, it's part of the gourd.
Can the rock move around in the gourd? Can the rock move around in the gourd as long as it doesn't fall out, or is what we're saying?
No, we're saying that it should be mechubra to the gourd, basically. In another similar case, a zimura, shikshura betafiyah. Let's say you have now a how do you say a zimura in English? You know, it's not a stick. It's not a
vine.
Yeah, but it's like a piece of vine, a branch of vine.
Oh, that's detached?
Well, that we'll see. That the Gemara is going to talk about. Okay, but a shoot of a vine, maybe. It's a good, which is connected to now a piece of ferrus that you use to you're going to use it now, it basically is a big handle, and you stick it into the water. So as long as it's tied to the tafiyah, you can use it on Shabbos. Otherwise, it's just like a loose branch. Pkaka chalon, and the third case is very similar, is where you have a chalon in those days meant an open hole in the wall. So you have over here something that you stuff into the open hole when it gets cold or when you want to close your window. So you have a piece of wood that fits in to the hole. Now, the shaila is, at what point is it considered to be binyan? At what point is it considered to be just a covering? Very similar to the issues that we raised before. So bismanchu kashur v'talui. Where this thing is tied like a shutter and it's hanging by the window now, and all you have to do is press it in, you lower it into the window. So then fine, then it becomes part of your normal binyan, psicha v'skira, and then pokekimbo. Mimla, but if you have to pick it up from the ground and stuff it into the window, then ain't pokekimbo.
So same with the door,
We'll see what, exactly what the issue is in the Gemara. There's a number of different ways of understanding the Mishnah. Even the word benkach u'benkach isn't clear. We're going to see there's two approaches in the Gemara to what they mean, benkach u'benkach. Kosher v'taloi, toloi alone. Tznanas. Even sh'al piachavit. Now, we have the Mishnah later on about a stone that's on top of a barrel, and now you want to get some wine out of that barrel, which means you're going to have to move the stone. Now, problem is the stone you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. So what do you do? Matal tzidavi nofel. You lift up the barrel, and you bend it to the side, and the stone can fall off.
And you can't put it back.
And, yeah, but it can, this is minatzat. Omar Rab Omar Bami Rabbi Yochanan. Now wait a minute. This is only if you forgot the stone there. So then it's not a basis davar asur, because when something happens to be on something else, it's not a basis. You have to put it on something else.
Was the stone the cut?
We'll see. Abu Bemei Niach. If you meant to leave the stone there, so then it's a basis davar asur. Whereas Rabbi Yosef says, no, actually Rabbi Yochanan said quite the opposite. Not the way Rabba quoted it, but rather the way Rabasi quoted it. Om Rabasi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, it's just the opposite. Loshana l'bishocheach, that you've got a problem in moving it. But if you were a meniach, it's not a problem. Because then, as our president so rightly points out, you now have turned it into the covering of the chavit. You want to use it to keep the chavit tightly shut. So then it becomes kisui l'achavit. And the kisui l'achavit is, of course, mutter to move on Shabbos. Why not? So therefore, it should be mutter completely. Why do you have to be matat sida? Pick it up. It's the cover.
It's part of the cover because it's holding down, as though...
If you wanted it to be part of the cover, so then...
It's a kli now. It's not
that. It's a kli. Omar Rabba, motvina nashmait. Now, I know that everybody asks on the way I quoted Rav Ami on Rav Yochanan. So they ask from the case of Ha'evan Shebikiruya from our Mishnah. And it says in our Mishnah, Im Mimalimba Veneno Felet, then Mimalimba. And so therefore, they ask on me, so how could you say that it's considered to be, I mean, in our Mishnah, it's very, very clear that the Evan can become a kli. I say that if you put it down, the evan does not become a kli. In the Mishnah here it says, if you have the evan inside the gourd, it does become a kli. So they ask on me, how could I say that Rabbi Yochanan said this? It's against the Beferish Mishnah. Velali, and it's not against the Beferish Mishnah. It doesn't bother me at all. Because Atam, kiven dahatka shav yadofen. In our Mishnah, the only way to make sure that the evan stays in the kiruya is to connect it. Oh, if you connect it, of course you made it a kli. What I'm timing is that by simply putting it there, it's not a kli, it's just a basis of davaros, and therefore it has nothing to do with this mission. Omer Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef said, who was the one who quoted Rabasi Pshat and Rabbi Yochanan, the exact opposite. They ask on my quote of Rabbi Yochanan that it's enough to put the Evan on top of the Chavit. And that turns it into a Kli. So they ask on me from the Mishnah, where it says in our Mishnah of Im Lav, that if it wasn't Mechuber to the Kli, then Ein Memalimba. And they ask on me, why Ein Memalimba? Apparently it's not enough just to stick an Evan inside of the Kiruya. That's called temporary. That's not called defining it as part of the Kiruya. So why is putting an Evan on top of a Chavit considered to make it now a Kli, and it's now the cover of the Chavit? Why doesn't it have to be now, you do something to it to be Mechaberet to the Magufat HaChavitz? And I answer them, doesn't bother me. Veloni, doesn't bother me at all. Because Hatka, Kibidol Hatka, Betulei Pata, but there's no comparison. In that case, if I don't connect it, it's going to fall. Because I'm moving it, I'm putting it into the water. The whole thing now, the tendency of the Kiruya to float pushes it upwards. The heaven falls out most of the time. So therefore, if I don't bother doing anything to it, it's clear that I was Megaladas, that I don't really view it as part of the Kiruya. I'm hoping it'll work. It won't work, offering another heaven. And there it requires Hiduk, absolutely. Mashenkin, over here, a stone that you put on top of a barrel has a tendency to stay there until somebody removes it. And there it's enough to make it the top of a Kli. Now the truth is, I mean, what are they arguing in? Very simple. But my communicate. Mar Savar Bi'inan Ma'aseh. Mar Savar Lo Bi'inan Ma'aseh. We already saw before this question. To turn something that's not a Kli into a Kli on Erev Shabbos. Do you need simply to say abracadabra on it? This is now hereby going to be used because I decided I will use it? Or do you need to do something that indicates that this is a Kli? That's the question over here. So, according to Rabasi's Reb Yochanan, it's enough to simply put it there. I don't need to make a big deal of it, make a big mess of it. I show, and that's sufficient. Whereas, according to the Rabbis Pshat and Reb Yochanan, I need to actually do something to maybe connect it with some glue, or to shave it into shape or something, and then I make it a real yichud to be a Kli. And the truth is, we're not just guessing on this, happens to be a machlokas between the same two people, Ozdila Tamayu. The difference between Reb Ami's approach over here in Reb Yochanan and Reb Asi's approach in Reb Yochanan, one who was quoted by Rava, one who was quoted by Reb Yosef, is a machlokas, Reb Ami and Reb Asi, got news for you. In an actual case, what happened? I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. Here was the mice. Ozu Tamar, the Chiyosu Rav Dimi, Omer Rabbi Chanina. When Rav Dimi came, he quoted Rabbi Chanina. Some say he quoted Rabbi Zera, quoting Rabbi Chanina, that there was a mice in which Rabbi went to a particular place. Umatza nidbach shel avanim, and he found over there a pile of stones. Now, a pile of stones, if it's in a nidbach, is clearly set aside for use in a building. He wouldn't have been able to use that on Shabbos. He knew that they were going to have an outdoor shear the next day. There would be a lot of need for places to sit. So he told his Talmidim, Tzu v'chishru, Kidei shenei shev aleihem l'machar. Each one of you should be mechashev that he wants to use this oven tomorrow. And then you'll be able to sit on it. But Rebbe did not require them to do anything. Whereas Reb Yochanan, and this is the same Reb Yochanan that we're quoting over here, Reb Yochanan said, no, that's not true. Rebbe did ask of them to do something, not just think something. My Omar, what did he tell them to do? And it's here that Reb Ami and Reb Asi argue in what it was, according to Reb Yochanan, that Rebbe asked them to do. Well, and that machlokas in Rabbi Yochanan between Rabbi and Rabbi Asi is exactly the two ways that Rabbi Yochanan is being quoted here as to what type of act is required in order to make something a Kli on Erev Shabbos. So Rabbi Ami said all that was necessary was that, I mean, what was necessary rather was that you have to go out and you have to set them up. So that they're now chairs. So he asked for an important act to be done. Whereas Rabasi said, so the ship should wipe them off. Get the dust off them so your suits won't get dusty. So get the dust off of them, even though you didn't move anything or anything, it's sufficient. So by the same token, if you need to say Tzuvalim Doom, so it's not enough just to put it loosely on top of the chavis, you have to show me that your meaning should stay there. Okay. And if you say Tzuv Shav Shafum, so any little thing is sufficient.
So on Shabbos I would be allowed to pick up these stones and sit on them.
If you were Meshav Shafum them before, yeah.
I can move them to each one to the other one.
Yeah, but that's the other sheet. Mina Sader, Limdum is Limudim. Arrange them, yeah. Thank you. Rav Asi Omar Tzuv Shiv Shifum, fine. Itmar Rav Yosef Ben Shaul Amar, the whole case, by the way, I mean, you don't have it exactly right. It wasn't Avanim. It was a Sa'a Shal Korot Avim. And Rav Yochanan Ben Shaul says, no, it wasn't even a Sa'a Shal Korot. It was actually a Gashosh of a Svina. A Gashosh is what they used to take soundings. So it has to be kept straight. And therefore, Mimadiyam a Gashosh, that Rebbe held even a Gashosh could be turned into a Kli, although people are mocked it on a Gashosh, because you don't want it to be bent, so you're going to sit on it, and you may bend it out of shape, you can't take good soundings with it. So, I mean, the Koshikane is so air, but if you hold it, was only talking about a pile of boards, a Gashosh would be Muktzimachus Chisar and Kis, you'd be copied Ale, so he would never have said that in that case we would have been martyred. The next case we had in the Mishnah was a Zmora Shikshura. So in other words, you're telling me that if I have a branch, and suppose this branch has basically a clip at one end, a natural clip that has parts of the wood sticking out in a way that creates a claw-like effect, and I could put the kli inside of it and still use it. You're telling me that's not good enough. It had to be tied. That's the whole point of a Zmora, right? So you're telling me Dabka Kshura, Lo Kshura Lo, no matter what? So does that mean that the Mishnah is not going according to Shita Rav Shimon Gamliel? Because Tanya, Chariot Shel Dekel, Shigodron Le'etzim, V'nimlach Aleihem Li'yeshiva, Tzarich Likshor, Rav Shimon Gamliel, In Tzarich Likshor. Suppose you went ahead and you cut down now branches from a Dekel, which your original intent was that you were going to use them for wood, and now you decide you want to sit on them. So the Tanakhama holds, they need now to be tied together. I mean, after all, these are basically lulav branches. They don't really serve the purpose well unless you tie them together. So apparently the sheet in our mission is indeed, needs to be tied. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if you can use it the way it is, why do you need to tie it? Use it the way it is. So our Mishnah says, no, the way it is, it's basically not considered to be a kli. If it was tied me Erev Shabbos, it is considered to be a kli. Obviously, Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking about a case where it was usable. They were stuck together, basically, with the little branches that were sticking out between them. In which case, the tafiach over here is also connected to the branch by little twigs that stuck out of the branch. Nonetheless, it's not good enough for our Mishnah. So apparently, it's going to Tanakhama. Can negative Shimon Gamliel? Not good enough. Even though it's usable? Rav Sheshes? Not necessarily. Afilu Tamer Rabban Shimon Gamliel. There's nothing to say the Mishnah is not going according to Shimon Gamliel if you add one additional point. Namely, that Af Mayaskinan Bimachuber Be'avia. You're assuming that what we have is a detached branch. And I know why you're assuming that, because you're not allowed to use an attached branch. Uh-huh. But suppose I tell you we're talking about an attached branch. It's attached to the ground. It's still connected to the vine. You have this more sticking out of the vine. So if I don't tie it, then it's clearly part of a vine. It's not part of the tafiyah. It's always going to be more considered to be mechubar to its own point of growth than to be temporarily connected with a couple of twigs to a tafiyah. So over there, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would be made a, of course, you'll have to tie it. And that's the case. He says, how could that be the case? So then you're being mishtamish b'mechuber. You're not allowed to use a branch that's connected to a tree. Forget about mukta. There's a whole other issue over there. We have a general klal because of the chashash that you may come to cut off a piece or something, that we don't allow you to be mishtamish with something which is b'chur b'lekarka. So how could tying it to the tafiyah allow you to take the branch of a living tree and to use it as a handle for collecting water on Shabbos? He answers the Gemara, l'mata mishlosha. Remember that we saw before that wherever you have something that is connected to the ground, the area which is within 3 tefachim to the ground is considered to be lavud. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, I'm using a swing set. I'm not using a tree. It's a binyan, basically. It's part of the ground. Rav Ashi amar, afilu tema b'tlusha. It might be talking even about a case of tlusha. The problem over here is that there's a gezeira shema yiktom. If you don't see to it, if you don't tie it down and so on, the ease with which you'll pull off a piece without even thinking and so on, because you didn't do anything to it before Shabbos, is such that we make a gzera. So if you have to sit there and you have to be machabrit and figure out how you're going to use it, okay, so then it becomes part of the clue, you did whatever you needed to do. But if not, it just strikes you as a raw piece of wood. So you may end up just trying to fix it to fit.
Why is it usher to put an attached branch in water on Shabbos?
That should be.
It's real, no?
You know, it's not going to grow in the water.
Well, it's
not planting anything. Omar, the next case we had was Kakachalak. Omar Rabba Barba Chanam Rabbi Yochanan. Hakoma dim she'ino sim. There's no question over here. You cannot create an ohel, even if it's only an ohel harai, in the first place. Even on Yontif, Koshkin can't do it on Shabbos. In other words, even if, let's say, you want to make a little tent for your kids to play on, you spread a blanket over the space between the beds, Lamash, you're not allowed to do that, because you're creating an ohel. So that's definitely us. The question over here, and we understand that this is certainly of a temporary nature, because you have to take it in to put it back, and so on. So I have to tell you, first of all, you should know, the creation of an ohel, even an ohel haroi, is usur. The point over here is, however, you're not creating the ohel, you're adding to an ohel. They already have the wall. I'm going to now be poking the area of the window. So that's the machlokus. You can't even say you had the blanket partially over the area. It's one extended. No, you're not even allowed to extend it. Whereas the chachamim say, look, once it was already spread out to the point where it's a din of an oil, so you continue to spread it because you're not doing anything. You already had the oil there. So the Chachomim Od Mosifin B'Shabbat Nitzar Chomer B'Yom Tov. If that's the case, and that's what the Chachomim say over here, why can't I be poking? Well, I already have a wall. All I'm doing is I'm adding. It's mutter to be Mosif, even B'Tzura, where the wall itself is a permanent wall, but I'm being Mosif in an Arai fashion. I'm allowed to be Mosif in Arai fashion on Shabbos, and for sure I'm allowed to do it on Yom Tov. But tomorrow we'll see what the lashon is of Benkach and Benkach.
Chayish, everybody, there's an envelope here from Chodesh Elo. You've been away for the summer. We miss you very much. He's mad. And if you'd like to discuss Happy Hilchos Tshuva Shiurin, starting in Elo, that would be a great discussion to have. I'm going to go to the next one.